स्कन्दस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकया चक्षून्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः मूकं करोति वाचलं पङ्गुं लङ्घयति गिरिं यत्कृपतमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरुं दीनतारणम् हे कृष्णकर्णसिन्धु दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपीश गोपिकान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तु ते ताप्त कञ्चन गौरङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वंशकल्पातरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभयैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्रीअद्वैत गदाधर शिवासदि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे मिस्टर प्रेसिडेंट Rotarians, ladies and gentlemen, it is with great pleasure that I have come for the first time to Erode, although I've been to South India before, but I've never been to, and although I've been in Bombay for almost 16 years, but it is the first time that I'm coming to South Bombay. I am told that Erode is known as South Bombay. The topic which was chosen this evening to speak was Transcendental Leadership. Some 3 days back, when I was in Bombay, I was invited to attend a seminar and workshop of the International Advertising Organization known as Hindustan Thompson. They, along with Lintas, the leading advertising agency in India and are very well known. So they had organized for their staff members and trainees who were attending from all over the country a seminar on the topic of leadership. So they had asked various people to come to speak on the subject. The person who spoke before me was Mr. S.D. Soman, who was the former chief of police of Bombay. So it is a topic, leadership is a topic which it has been and probably is on people's minds these days. After all, it was only a week ago that the whole country went to the polls to choose a leader, not one but many leaders for the whole country. As a foreigner, not really a foreigner, but the government classifies me that way, I tried to gain citizenship at one stage and they told me, we already have enough citizens, thank you. So anyway, as a foreigner, I'm not allowed to vote. But being a resident in India, naturally, a little bit, I follow the politics because it affects our lives, all of us. And I tried to see whether, if I had been given the opportunity to vote, whether there were any leaders who were actually worthy to vote for. And unfortunately, my conclusion was not many, if any. So, some of you may wonder what perspective a sadhu has in politics, or whether he should be concerned about mundane politics at all, or any kind of politics for that matter. The answer is yes and no, both. Once some of the disciples of our founder Acharya, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, feeling pride and ecstasy, approached him and said, "Prabhupada, we want to make you the king of the whole world." Srila Prabhupada very sincerely replied to them, "No, you become the king, I will be your guru." So in this way, a sadhu has no interest to become entangled in pounds, shilling and pence, diplomacy and intrigue. Chanakya, of course, he was a sadhu, Brahmana, but he sponsored one of the greatest politicians, Chandragupta. So he said, "Visvaso naiva kartavya strishu raja kaleshu cha." You can never trust a politician, anyone addicted to sense gratification or diplomacy. Cannot be trusted. Also, the fact is that the materialistic dynamic is that each and every one of us wants to become some kind of leader in this material world, whether it be just the leader of our family, or the leader of our social group, the leader of our community, the leader of our country. Everybody's trying to establish his upadhi, his designation, his make his imprint. Whereas for a sadhu, the inverse holds true. He is not trying to become a leader, but he's trying to become a follower of the greatest leader. But on the other hand, we see in the Srimad Bhagavatam, so many kings are portrayed seeking the advice of saintly persons. So in that way, it is also the duty of the sadhu to describe or to teach the people what are the characteristics of a good leader. There, my Guru Maharaj used to quote the Bengali proverb that the king is good for the people, and the people are good for the king, but the king is better. Because when we have a strong leader, a powerful, strict leader, everyone benefits. And without a good leader, everyone suffers. Anarchy never brings prosperity, peace, and happiness. anarchy only brings disturbance in society. We need a good leader. In the body, in the physical body, we have arms, we have legs, we have belly. So many parts of the body are there, and they're all doing work. But unless the body is led by the intelligent brain, the whole body suffers. So we need intelligent leaders. That is very important. But unfortunately, people do not know the standard of good leadership. The greatest mistake that people make is in their worldview. The greatest mistake that people make is that they falsely identify the self with the body. In general, we find, if you ask any person in the street that, "Sir, who are you?" "I am Mr. Ashok. I am Mr. Anil. I am Mr. So-and-so. I am a lawyer. I am a doctor. I am a Tamil. I am Malayali. I am this, I am that." Every kind of identification will be given in relationship to the body. People are thinking that I am this body. This is me, this bag of blood and stool and urine, skin, hair, pus. So many wonderful things. People are thinking that this is me. So we can understand that this is a mistake, as much as I am not my shirt or coat. One gentleman was introduced to me today, not as Mr. Blue Shirt, but he has a name. He has a personality. He is not the coat. So there is a saying in Hindi in relationship to renunciation. Everyone develops enlightenment at the, in Sanskrit it is smashan, in Hindi it is sangshan ghat. So it is called sangshan ghat vairagya. Everyone understands at that time, "Oh, my beloved one has passed away." No, no. Body is right here. What do you mean? Everything you ever saw in life is right here. You're about to burn it. No, 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 no. You don't understand. He's passed away. At that time, we get a little realization about the difference between the self and the body. I'll give you one example. If a man gets a nice new car, supposing he gets a Mercedes-Benz, supposing someone wins a lottery, okay? You have lotteries here in Aero? So many? Supposing someone wins a nice new Mercedes-Benz car. The cricket players, usually they win cars, right? When they go to Australia or something, somebody came back with a car and the customs wouldn't let them have it. Anyway, supposing you win a nice new Mercedes-Benz car. So in Aero, probably that's a pretty nice car to have. So I can just see the man, you know. He's out there every day polishing his car. You have to put wax on it so it will shine, right? So you have to polish the wax so it looks nice. In America, they do it all the time. Although they have so much money, they don't You can't afford servants. They're so wealthy, but you can't afford servants because a servant also wants to become wealthy, so he charges a lot of money too. So you have to polish your own car. And you drive your family, your friends around in your car. You show, look, everybody, see, I have a nice car. You polish the car, you drive it around. Then someday, someone comes along in a 1956 Ambassador, old car. He's drunk. And he's driving recklessly on the road, and he smacks into your beautiful, polished Mercedes-Benz. Completely ruins the front end of your car. The first thing you do is you jump out. You hit me! You hit me! No, sir. I hit your car. I didn't hit you. But because we're so attached to this car, we're thinking I am the car. So that is illusion. And this is the greatest illusion in which society is suffering today. People are thinking that I am Indian, I am Pakistani, I am Indian, I am Nepali, I am Indian, I am Chinese. We have to fight. People are thinking that I am the body, but someone who is a transcendental leader, he knows that the body is simply a shirt or a coat. This is also explained in the Bhagavad Gita. Actually, the Bhagavad Gita is the ABC of Vedic knowledge. It is only the beginning. But even the ABC is so profound that if we simply understand the message of Bhagavad Gita, we can solve all of our problems in life. Krishna says, Saha yagya praja srishtva puravacha prajapati anena pashavishadvam eshavostushta kama duk. Arjuna, I have given you a plan, a blueprint. If you follow my plan, you can be happy materially. You can have abundant supply materially and also spiritually. Kama duk means abundant supply. So Bhagavad Gita is not simply for ascetics who live in the Himalayas. The ABC of spiritual knowledge is actually for everyone. So there in the very beginning, Krishna chastises Arjuna for the same false identification. He says, Kutas tva kashmalamidam vishame samapastitam anaya justam asvargyam akirti karamaju. Kutastva, where from these impurities have come from, Arjuna? You are supposed to know the progressive value of human life. You're supposed to know the purpose of existence. As an Aryan, you're supposed to have higher intelligence. Such petty weakness of heart, hridaya dorbalyam, this will not lead you to a higher destination, to a better life, a kirti karamartuna. He chastises. Arjuna gives so many reasons in the first chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna gives so many religious reasons. He quotes from scripture why he should not fight in the battle. So, in the beginning of the second chapter, Krishna tells Arjuna, Asochananvasochastvam pragyavadanshya bhashase. Your talk is actually full of contradiction. You are speaking like a pundit, like a so-called learned man, but a wise man does not lament for the living or the dead body. He knows that the body is already dead. There's nothing alive in the body. You can't find anything alive in the body. The same atoms in your body are the same atoms in this podium, the same atoms in the table, in the cartels. The body appears to be alive because of the presence of the Atma, the life force, Chaitana, the consciousness. But you are lamenting for what is not worthy of grief. Natvam sochitum arhasi. Wise man can see beyond this. So a leader, his first business is to analyze what is the real problem in society. Is it roti, kapra, and makan? Are these the real problems our society is facing? Or is it ignorance? Is ignorance the greatest disease? Skin disease. We have a skin disease. Yasyatma buddhi kunapetri datuke. Someone who thinks, whose atma buddhi, his intelligence is that the self is tridhatu, kapha pita vayu. Yasyatma buddhi kunapetri datuke svadhi kalatradishu ijabomadi. Someone who thinks that I am this body, I am Indian, India is great, my place of birth is worshipable. Yat tirtha buddhi salilena karichij janeshva bigyeshu. Someone who identifies that I am a Hindu, I am a Christian, I am a Muslim, and he visits holy places just to take a bath there, without actually getting some enlightenment by discussing with sages, saintly persons. I once had a friend, life member of ISKCON. So I knew him. Of course, I was the president in Calcutta. So he was well known to me in Calcutta. So in 1977, there was a Mahakumbh in Allahabad, biggest in 144 years. So ISKCON had a camp there. My Guru Maharaj went, I also went. So on the 19th of January, that was Amavasya Day, actually came on the 18th. He drove all the way from Calcutta, got down in Allahabad at Kumbh Mela, took his bath, I met him, and he got back in his car, went all the way back to Calcutta. Same day. So I told him, Mr. Agarwal, the Ganges is there in Calcutta. If you just want to take a bath, why take all the trouble to come to the Ganges in Allahabad? The same Ganges. So someone, the dogs and the hogs and the cows, they also take bath in the Ganges. So Shastra says, sa eva gokhara. Someone who thinks that the body is the self, his place of birth is worshipable, and just visits holy places to take bath, he's no better than the cows or the donkeys. They also take bath. Anyone with a little common sense can understand the difference between the body and the self. Just like the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells Arjuna, dehi nosmin yatha dehe komaram yovanam jara. From boyhood to youth to middle age to old age, komaram yovanam jara, we're changing bodies. This is not a Hindu fact. It's not a sectarian Christian idea or Muslim. This is a fact. Everyone is changing body. Every 7 years, there's a total change in your body. All the hair, all the skin, all the cells, they change. You totally change your body. So the Bhagavad Gita, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna's telling Arjuna, Tatha dehantara prapti. Death is just another change of body. As much as you change from boyhood to youth to middle age to old age, death is just another change of body. Vasamsi jirnani yatha vihaya navani grinati naroparani tatha sharirani
Vihaya Jinani Anyani Samyati Navani Dehi.
Very literal verse in the Bhagavad Gita.
As we change our kapra, as we change our cloth, similarly the soul changes body. When this cloth is old, I take it off and put on new cloth. Similarly the soul, according to the mental proclivities at the time of death, it takes another body. Therefore we see so many varieties in society. Because man has got many different desires for enjoyment. So there are many different kinds of bodies offered. Just like you go into a supermarket. Now in Bombay they have supermarkets. You can buy everything under one roof, you know. Just like they have this Akbar Ali's. I don't know if they have in South, but Akbar Ali's, you can buy electrical goods, you can buy cake, you can buy soda pop, you can anything you want under one roof, supermarket. So in this material world, you come here and whatever you want to enjoy sex, okay, you take the body of a pigeon. You can have sex 10 times in an hour. Or a pig, you see. You can be a hippie. Have sex with your mother, sister, daughter. Pigs don't discriminate. Free love, you see. You want to sleep? Okay, balu ban jayega. Become a bear, you can sleep for 6 months. No problem. You want to eat meat? Become a tiger. You want to eat a lot of food? You enjoy eating? Okay, you become elephant. We have an elephant on our padyatra, Lakshmi. She eats practically 16 hours a day, 17 hours a day. Sleeps for about 4 or 5 hours. Exercises a couple of hours and eats all day long. So if you think eating is the ultimate goal in life, you can take the body of an elephant and eat 200-300 kilos of food a day. Even if it's not rice dal or pongal or whatever, even if it's not payasam, I like payasam. Still, the elephant is not lamenting, the elephant is thinking sugar cane is nice to eat. You can offer her your payasam, she won't eat it. She likes her bananas and her sugar cane. And that way she can... So if that's what you want, then nature has an arrangement. But human life is valuable for self-realization. Atato brahma jigyasa. Atato means now. And now means after 8,400,000 species of life, now that you've got the human form of life, you're meant to try to understand who you are. What is the purpose of this life? What is after this life? Where am I going? What's the reason for all my struggling? And a leader who doesn't know this is no leader. He's a blind man. Antha andha yathandhair upaniyamanas. The Srimad Bhagavatam compares modern materialistic leaders to simply blind men leading other blind men. They're all gonna fall in the ditch. Out with the tiger and in with the lion. What's the use in our democracy if we don't produce leaders who have control of their mind and senses? Udared atmanatmanam natmanam avasadayat. Atmaiva hi atmano bandur atmaiva ripur atmanam. The mind can be bandhu or ripu. The mind can be your best friend, or he can be your worst enemy. Your mind can elevate you, or your mind can degrade you. To become an animal, dvipad pashu. You're not a four-legged animal, you're two-legged. Ahar nidra baimaitun. Simply doing the same thing in a little bit more sophisticated way. polished cats and dogs, a royal addition to the animal kingdom. Simply doing the same business, eating, sleeping, and sex, and defense. Different mode. But that is not the glory of human life. We've come so far. Through all the different species, we've had an opportunity. Now we have human life, we have expanded consciousness. We have to ask these questions. What is the goal? What is it all for? Why is there suffering? What is the reason? Why must I die? I don't want to die. Nobody wants to die. We all want to live. But we're forced to die again and again. Why? What is the reason? We must ask these questions. And the Vedic literature is giving us the best presentation, I like to call state-of-the-art spiritual technology. Just as in America, we have developed the best computer technology. I was just reading about a tie-up between some Bangalore company and Novell. Novell is a company which, if you know anything about computers, they specialize in local area networks, which means that you can have one main computer and then hundreds of people can have little small terminals. So that software and hardware combined is called a local area network. So America, they admitted, they're far ahead of everyone else in the world. So they've applied their intelligence, they've applied their brains to figuring out how to make a better local area network. But is that any value at the time of death? And how quickly this life passes. In practically a few short years, it's over. My grandfather lived to be 96 years old. It's quite old, especially for a Westerner, for the type of raucous life that they lead. 96. Actually, he became a vegetarian when he was about 75 or so. He couldn't digest anything else. Anyway, I asked him about his life. Around 93, I think I met him. So he said, of course he was a little senile, but he said that my life is just like a dream. He said, I remember when I was a young man. He was in the Scottish Highlanders, okay? He wore a kilt, you know, they have those dresses. And in Scotland, it's very cold. So they wear a kilt, their knees are showing, it's like a skirt. So he said, I remember how my knees used to get blue in the Scottish winter. I remember coming to Canada, doing farming. I remember getting married. I remember so many things, but it's all just like a dream. It seems like it was only yesterday. It passed so quickly. And that's what the truth of the matter is, that life passes before us just like in an instant. Very quickly we get old. It's like a dream. So many memories gone. So if we don't take advantage of this valuable opportunity of human life, then, according to the Vedas, we are considered kripana, the opposite of brahmana. Yova etad aksharam gargya vidvashmal lokat praiti sa kripana. Someone who gets human life and doesn't take advantage of the opportunity to solve the problems, to make a permanent solution, not a patchwork solution, He's simply a miserly man. He's got a valuable thing and he wastes it. So we have to find leaders who can inspire us. Whatever the leaders do, the common men follow. I was almost upstaged by Mr. Soman in Bombay because as he spoke before me, he started to quote from the Bhagavad Gita also. He quoted the verse, Yad Yad Acharati Shrestas Tattad Evitaro Janahasa Yat Pramanam Kurute Lokas Tad Anuvartate. Whatever the Shrestha do, whatever the leaders do, naturally the common Lokas Tad Anuvartate, the common men follow. If Amitabh Bachchan combs his hair this way, all the people will start to comb their hair this way. What's his name in Madras? Rajnikant. In South India you have your Rajnikant. If he does something today, everyone will imitate him. These are our leaders today. Formerly in India you had great leaders like Ramanujacharya, Nimbarkacharya, Madhvacharya, Parikshit Maharaj, Yudhisthira Maharaj, great personalities. Today the leaders are all cinema actors. We know where their minds are at. Ahar Nidra Vaimaitun. So we need transcendental leadership. The beauty of transcendental leadership is that a transcendental leader can be followed completely in every aspect of our lives, not only in the political side, not only in the religious side, but the activities of a transcendental leader, they are meant to be followed in every aspect of our lives. As I said earlier, a transcendental leader is a follower. He's not trying to exploit people. His senses are under control. His mind is under control. He's dedicated to the service of God. He has nothing to gain from you. He's not trying to exploit you because you have nothing that he wants. You can't bribe him. That may be a problem for some people, but for the honest man, it's not a problem. It's a pleasure to hear. A transcendental leader, he's only interested in serving the supreme leader. He's not trying to get hold of the party or become the prime minister. If somebody else is more qualified, just like the gopis, there are different parties of the gopis. So the Manjaris, they are simply engaged. One party of the gopis they called Manjaris, and Tulsi also, you know, there's the Manjari. Anyway, the gopis who are Manjaris, they're only interested in assisting Radharani. Radharani is Krishna's eternal consort. She is God's pleasure potency. Krishna is Bhokta, Bhoktaram Yajna Tapasam, Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. He's the primeval enjoyer. He's the original enjoyer, and we are also meant to be enjoyed by Krishna. He is Prakriti, he is Purusha, we are Prakriti. We are enjoyed. He is the enjoyer. He is Purusha, Adi Purusha. Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. So, Radharani, she is the best of all the gopis. She's expert at pleasing Krishna. So the Manjaris, they are not interested in serving Krishna directly, but they simply want to assist Radharani. So Krishna, he sometimes likes to be alone just with Radharani. So Lalita and the other gopis, they have their own party and they compete with Radharani to be with Krishna. So when Krishna wants to be alone with Radharani, the other gopis are not invited, but the Manjaris, they're allowed to be present. Because they're not competing with Radharani, they simply want to assist her. So actually in spiritual life, to become a servant of the servant of the servant of the leader is more glorious than to try to directly serve Lord Krishna. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Gopi Bhartu Padakamalayor Dasa Dasanu Das. I'm not a sannyasi, I'm not a brahmana, I'm not a grihastha. Then, sir, what are you? I am the servant of the servant of the servant of the master of the gopis. So, the whole mentality of a transcendental leader is free from envy, free from false pride. These are the pitfalls which materialistic leaders fall into. But a transcendental leader, he's free from these things, or he's becoming free by the process of association with Krishna. He's becoming purified. So, if we want to be happy even in the material world, we've all heard of Ram Raja. Now, most people on Sunday at 9:30, you know what they're doing, right? They're glued to the television watching Mahabharata. And before that, it was Ramayana. So there's still some culture left in India. People want Ram Raja. But you can't have Ram Raja without Ram, or at least without devotees of Ram. There was interesting, the Archbishop of Canterbury, a very liberal fellow, he was very disturbed that young people were having a lot of illicit sex in England. So many illegitimate children were being born. So he was disturbed by this because in the Bible it doesn't condone such activity, illicit sex. So he could reason that all these young people were going to suffer in hell for their illicit sex. So he wanted to help them. So he said, in our church we do not allow illicit sex unless you get permission from your parents. You cannot adjust the laws of God to suit your own whims. You have to follow the laws of God as they are. And therefore you benefit. The Bhagavad Gita says, prasadam adigacchati. By following these rules and regulations are for your benefit. Just like a doctor tells you, sir, you're going, if you go on drinking, you're going to get cirrhosis of the liver and you'll die. Therefore, you must give up drinking. You must give up eating this and that. You must control your diet. So you think, oh, the doctor's a nasty man, gave me all these restrictions. But when you're cured, then you realize, oh, the doctor was my friend. So these rules which are given to us in our diseased condition, remember? We have a skin disease. So these rules are meant for our purification, for our elevation, for our satisfaction. Yat tad agre vishamiva pariname ritopamam tat sukam sattikam proktam atma buddhi prasadajam. In the 18th chapter, Lord Krishna says that this happiness which is derived from serving the Lord, it is happiness in the mode of goodness. In the beginning it may be a little difficult. It may be like poison, visham eva, because you have to restrict your senses a little bit. You have to control your mind from wherever and whenever the mind wanders. You have to bring it back. Yato yato nischalati manas chanchalam astiram. The mind is chanchal. So you have to, abhyasena tu kaunteya. You have to intelligently practice
bring the mind back under the control of the self. So that may be a little distasteful. May not be very tasty. Maybe poison in the beginning. But in the end, it is like nectar. Parinama amritopam. And it is happiness in the mode of goodness. Everybody is getting happiness in one way or the other. The devotees are also experiencing pleasure. Otherwise, I couldn't be doing for 20 years, right? How is a Canadian? Dr. Spock was the doctor who wrote so many books that if your child is not going out with girls, you know, there's something wrong. You better, you know, teach your child how to masturbate or how to, you know, free him from all of his inhibitions. From the moment I was born, my parents were putting Gerber's beef, you know, the child can't chew, so they grind it up into a nice little powder and make a little paste and feed it to the, you know, 6-month-old babies, get them started on beef right away. So how is such a person now following for the last 20 years a totally different way of life? If he's not getting any pleasure, what is he doing? So we are also enjoying, but this happiness is in the mode of goodness. And we would have not come to this platform if it was not for the acharya, for the transcendental leader like Srila Prabhupada. So that's what the world needs today. That's what India needs today. India is actually meant guide the rest of the world, technology, industry, that is sudra work. India is not meant to compete with the world to offer up the best sudras. There's nothing wrong with being a sudra or a vaishya or a kshatriya or a brahmana. That is all external, that is material. But the point is, India is meant to give spiritual guidance to the world because they have the best technology, spiritual philosophy. As I said, the great leaders of India formerly used their intelligence to understand eternal subject matters. And they've given us research work, so much valuable work in the form of Vedas. And now it is our duty. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Bharat Bhumite Hoila Manusa Janma Jar Janma Sarta Kari Kara Paropaka. Those who are born in India, they are very fortunate. Why? Because they have an opportunity. If they don't take advantage, then they're foolish. Janma Sarta Kari. Take advantage of the opportunity, study the knowledge left to us by great sages, and then try to help others, paropakar, by doing welfare work, the highest welfare work. So I'll stop there. I've taken a lot of your time. My point is that we need God-conscious, enlightened leaders. And until we get such leaders, we're not going to have a better situation. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions or comments or contradictory remarks, wisecracks? Anybody has any questions? Yes, sir. Yes. Good question. There is no reason. In fact, Krishna, Arjuna asked the same question of Krishna. He said, why do I come again to this material world? I don't want to. Why should I come here again? And Krishna said, Kamesha Krodesha Rajagun Samudva Mahashano Mahapapma Vidyenam Iha Vairinam.
It is lust and lust only, Arjuna, which is our all-devouring sinful enemy in this world, Vairina, our enemy. It is this lust that acts like an anchor. If at the time of death we still are hankering after so many material desires, then you have to fulfill those desires. You have to come back to this material world again to try to fulfill. And according to your karma, there are two things: one's desire and what one deserves. So karmana daiva netrena, according to the higher authorities, they see what we deserve and what we desire, and by that we get another material body. There's no reason to come back. We shouldn't reincarnate. Yam yam mamupeti tu konteya punar janma na vidite. Those who think of me at the time of death, they don't take birth in this material world. So, therefore it is stated, janma lava parakpungsang ante narayana smriti. In the Srimad Bhagavatam it is stated that the perfection of this life is to somehow or other, there's no use making excuses, because you're not fooling anyone, you're only fooling yourself. Each man is an independent living being. We're all, actually in one way, we're all alone in this world. I can't help you, and you can't help me. What I'm thinking right now about all of you, you don't know, and I don't know what all of you are thinking about me. If I pinch myself, ouch! Did any of you feel it? You don't know my feelings. Even our wives, our closest relatives, how close we are to our wives, we don't know what they're thinking. We're alone in this world. So there's no use making some tamasha, some show. You do what you have to do, whatever that may be, but the test will be at the time of death. In Bengali there is a saying, bhajan karo, sadhan karo, mota jale. The time of death, your test will come. You do anything. You do your bhajan, you do sadhan. The real test is at the time of death. Ante Narayana Smriti. Whether it be Krishna, Jehovah, Allah, you call it anything, but somehow at the time of death, phalena parichiyate, we have to judge by the result. There's so many, you know, man-made concepts of religion. But we have to judge by the result. Is he becoming free from lust, anger, and greed? These are our real kam, krodh, lobh, moha, mada, matsarya. If a man is becoming free from lust, anger, and greed, if he's developing attachment, asakti, attachment to Krishna, to God, then that's first-class religion. Whatever he's doing, it's working. It must be good. And if he's not, then it's useless. He can call it anything, make a big show, but it's useless. If he's still entangled in lust, anger, and greed. If he still thinks I'm the body, then he's just a fool, another kind of fool. Someone's a doctor, someone's a lawyer, someone's a professional sadhu. In Gujarati they say swadhu. He's just interested in roti, kapra, and makan, and so he becomes a sadhu. Any other questions?
What made you to pursue this Sakshatna temple when there are so many other ways?
Yes. Well, I suppose I was always interested in Krishna. But the devotees answered all my questions. My Guru Maharaj answered my questions. Whereas the Christian bhaktas of Krishna, because actually there's only one God, just like you may have many names,
Your wife may call you by some intimate name that only you and she know. The boys at the poker club may have another name for you. Your workers at the office may know you by another name. But you're one and the same person. So God is known by so many names. Jehovah means the all-powerful. Certainly Krishna is all-powerful. Allah means all-merciful. Yes, Krishna is all-merciful. The name Krishna is a very perfect name of God because it describes Sada Aishwarya Purna, Bhagavan. Bhaga means strength, beauty, wealth, fame, knowledge, and vairagya, renunciation. So Krishna means that person who is all attractive because he has all these qualities. When someone has money, right, if Mr. Birla were to walk in here, we'd all stand up and salute, right? Money is attractive. Or, I don't know in South India who the Prabhupadis are. If someone has beauty, if Sri Devi were to walk in, we'd all stand up and salute, right? Correct? I wouldn't, but I turned my head. Anyway, if someone is very knowledgeable, we offer respect, we're attracted. Some great scholar comes. Unfortunately, in this material world, we find that, you know, someone who's got beauty doesn't necessarily have knowledge. Just like Bertrand Russell proposed that he and Marilyn Monroe should get married. Because with his knowledge and her beauty, they could have a wonderful child. But then someone said, what if it was your beauty and her? That'd be a mistake. Anyway. Generally, you find that people may have some qualities, but not all. Or wherever you find a wealthy man, there's always someone wealthier. Just like I always thought, you know, the Birlas were the wealthiest. Then I met the Hindujas. And their wealth is in dollars. And they're arms traders, so, you know, unlimited wealth for them. So, there's always someone more beautiful, there's always someone more learned. But Krishna is that person who has all wealth. He has all beauty. He's the source of beauty. Narayan Rishi was performing tapasya in the Himalayas. Just to set an example, there's a leader, Shrestha. He was tapo dibyam. Rishabdev told his sons, Nayana deho deha bhajan riloke kastan kaman arhate vidbhujame. He had 100 sons, and Rishabdev told them, don't waste your life in endeavoring for the same kind of enjoyment that is available to the vidbhujam, the stool eaters. He said, tapo dibyam, tapasya, practice austerity in human life. Putraka yena sattvam shudayat brahma sokyam vanantam. Because that will give you transcendental happiness, which is endless. So, nobody wants to take up austerity. But actually austerity is another quality which is attractive. Beauty, wealth, strength. Narayan Rishi was performing austerity and Indra, you know, Indra always gets envious when anybody starts doing tapasya because he thinks, oh, they're going to get power and then they're going to try and take over my leadership. Sometimes Indra is not such a transcendental leader. So he sent some apsaras to try to entice. He always does that. You know, he sent them to Vishwamitra. He's always sending his girls out. So he sent them to try to disturb the tapasya of Narayan Rishi. And then all of a sudden from the body of Naranarayan Rishi, so many beautiful damsels began to come out. Because Narayan, he's the source of all beauty. He's not attracted by mundane beauty. He's the source of all beauty that we have. Any beauty that we have is coming from God. He's the source of all knowledge. He knows everything because He created everything. He's existing simultaneously everywhere, within every atom. Andantarastha paramanu chayantarastham. He's within every atom. Anora niyan mahato mahiyan. He's smaller than the smallest and He's greater than the greatest. He's inconceivable to our tiny cranium. We're trying to catch Krishna and put Him in our little three-dimensional brain. But He can run much faster than we can. Tadejati tad naijati tad dure tad vantike tad antarasya sarvasya tad usarvasya bhayata yastu sarvani bhutani admaiva bhut vijanata tatra ko mahakashaka ekatvam anupasya. Krishna is beyond our conception, mundane conception. It is impossible for us by the empirical process to understand Krishna with our tiny knowledge. Just like the frog, okay? There was a particular frog living in his well. Say he was a, he had a PhD in frogology. So his brother went on a tour, holiday or something. So after a few months he came back and he said, gosh, I've seen the biggest body of water you can imagine. The ocean. It's huge. So, Professor Frog, very proud of his well, he said to his brother, oh, is it twice as big as my well? No, no, you can't understand. It's huge. Oh, is it five times as big as my well? So in that way, we try to anthropomorphize, we project what limited concept we have. We're such a speck in the universe. We're so small and insignificant, but we think we know everything. Krishna's far beyond our conception. So Krishna, the name Krishna is so nice. It means all attractive. Krishna has all wealth, all beauty, all strength, all knowledge, all fame, all renunciation. So, one can chant any name of God, one can remember the Lord in any of His forms. He has so many incarnations. There are more incarnations of God than there are waves in the ocean throughout time. Ramadi Murti Shukalani Amena Tishtana Navatara Makarod Bhuvaneshu Kintu Krishna Swayam Samavavad Purmak Kumanyo Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Krishna Swayam. Krishna is the original form of God. So therefore, when I was introduced to Krishna and I heard about His glories and I skeptically challenged with so many questions, because Westerners are skeptics. If there's a God, show me. I don't believe you. Why should follow your Hindu God? Right? We Christians, we are the best. Americans make the best. Right? We own the world. In fact, we don't need God. We make everything. We have supermarkets, we have stores, we have streets. We don't need Him. How much income tax does He pay? Anyway, skeptically, I asked so many questions. One thing I wanted to know was what happens to a baby at the time of death. Okay, some people say there's only one life. Right? Only one chance. This life. Either you serve, you know who, or you go to hell. And you serve Jesus or you go to hell. If you don't serve Jesus, your life's over, you go to hell for eternity. So I would ask, what happens to a 6-month-old baby? Didn't serve Jesus. But he didn't do any sin. Where does he go, heaven or hell? God sends him to hell for eternity. Where does a 6-month-old baby go? So some people would answer, well, our Lord is very kind. And that child would go to heaven. So I said, great, let's kill all the 6-month-old babies. Why let them grow up and take a chance of going to hell? Let's do them a favor, right? So those are the kind of questions I used to have. But the devotees answered all my questions. So I became attracted to Krishna. I thought you could no longer remain inactive. You have to, either you're a hypocrite or you have to follow. And I never looked back. I never regretted it. And I've never found a question I couldn't answer using this philosophy. Is that all right? Any other questions?
You believe in idol worship, and you know life is against it.
Someone was just telling me about there's a man here named Perrier or something.
Perrier.
There's a drink they have in Europe called Perrier. Anyway. So as we were coming here, I saw some idol worship of Perrier. They had his idol out in the middle of the street, and birds were passing stool on it, and the rain comes down on it, and the winter gets cold. I thought, this is very poor idol worship. At least they should bring him inside, make an altar for him, and put a garland on him. To worship him by putting, you know, his statue out in the street is... they should learn from us. See, the point is this, that for God there's no material energy or spiritual energy. God's energy, prasya shaktair vividaiva shruyate svabhaviki jnana balakriya cha. Krishna has multifarious energies. He's the energetic source of everything. So this whole cosmos is just the bahiranga shakti of the Lord. It's His energy. He's within and without of everything. He's inside every atom. So if we make a statue of the Lord according to Shastric injunction, and it helps us to focus our mind, where's the problem? Just like I was explaining to this gentleman, I have a, you know, I have to send letters. I have so many correspondences that I have to answer. So at least every day, 2-3 letters I have to write. So if I had to go to VT, if I had to go to the GPO every day, it would really be a hassle. It would be a problem. But there's a post box just outside our temple. So I don't have to go. I just put my mail in the post box. And because that box is authorized by the government, I have confidence that it'll go to its destination. Now in Pune, we just have a new piece of property. There's no post box there. So if I think, supposing I go to Pune for a while and I think, oh, we have this nice box outside our temple in Bombay. Why don't I make one and put it outside our temple in Pune? And put my letters in it. Not going to go anywhere. Because it's not authorized by the government. It's concocted by me. It has to be authorized by the government, then it's non-different than the GPO. So in the same way, deity worship is not graven image worship. What happened was, at the time of Jesus, the priests in the Jewish temples had concocted so many graven images. They were worshipping cows and this and everything, and they were just using them as machines to extract money from the people. That goes on today in India. People put up a deity, you know, Jai Santoshi Ma, some concocted thing, and extract money from the people, cheat the innocent, foolish people.
That's idol worship, no doubt.
But the actual systematic offering of homage to the authorized representation of the Lord, Archa Vigraha Murti, that is not. That helps us to see the Lord. Otherwise, if you don't see Krishna's Murti, then you'll see Sri Devi's Murti. Right? Your eyes will see something material, something mundane, and you'll get caught in the material world. If you don't hear some sound, you know, you'll hear some guzzles or some nonsense rubbish sounds, or you'll hear Krishna Katha, Srinvatam, Svakatha, Krishna, Punya, Shravana, Kirtana, Hridyam Takstohya Bhadrani, Vidunauti Surit Satam. By hearing Krishna Katha, your heart will become clean, you'll become happy and satisfied, peaceful in mind. You'll achieve what you're actually, Purnamrit. We're looking for Purnamrit. We're looking in a glass of beer for something to really satisfy us. We're looking in sex life. We're looking in, you know, cigarettes. We're looking for that Purnamrit. The soul is hankering. But we're not looking in the right place. Krishna's right here in your heart. But how to hear him, how to see him, how to touch him, how to taste him. That is the scientific process of deity worship. It's not sentimental. It's a science, how to focus the mind. Just like electricity is everywhere, static electricity, right? You walk in the office, now many of the offices have carpets, and you scrape your feet, and then you touch some metal, and immediately you get a shock. How did that happen? Static electricity, it's within everything. But when you want to use electricity for your telephone or your fan, there's a science how to bring out the electricity. So there's a science how to see God everywhere. And that is the scientific process of deity worship. It's a technique. It's given by Krishna. It's not concocted. It's coming through parampara. Everybody's doing deity worship. They keep a cross of Jesus and worship the cross, bow down to the cross. The Muslims face Mecca 5 times a day. What is in Mecca? The Kaaba. What is the Kaaba? It's a stone. Who's not doing idol worship? The atheists are doing it. Everybody's doing it. In psychology, there's a psychological test which they conduct. They show people. They show people different photos of different things, and they give them a dart. You know what darts are? You throw them at a board. It's a little arrow pointed, a dart. You know what darts are? Huh? Everybody knows what darts are. Okay. The British used to play it all the time, I'm sure. Anyway, they give you a dart, and they show you a picture of a train, and they say, throw the dart. And then they lift that, and there's another picture of a crane or a car, throw the dart. Then they lift it, and there's your mother. And, you know, you stop. Because the form suggests an impression in the mind. So, whether it be Roman Catholics or Protestants or whatever, they have some image that they hold sacred. Picture of Jesus. The Bible is also, they worship the Bible. They don't throw the Bible down on the ground. They hold it sacred. Or the sound vibration of the Bible, something. So the only thing is that in the Vedic literature, everything is very systematic and scientific. God is not Christian or Hindu or Muslim. God is the Father. Aham Bija Prada Pita Sarva Yoni Shukumpa. He's the Father of all living beings. If you feel happier calling him Jehovah, call upon the name of Jehovah in the song and the dance with the sound of cymbals. In the Psalms of David, so much exhortation to chant the names of Jehovah or Jesus. bona fide names of God. If you chant Coca-Cola, 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 that's not going to take you anywhere. Or even Ganesh or Shiva or Durga, these are demigods. The Supreme Godhead, He has many names. Rama, Nasringha, Varaha, Matsya, Kurma, Allah. Any other points or questions? Okay, thank you very much. I've taken a lot of your time. Thank you for making sense.